Good morning, and welcome to worship, whether you're here physically or maybe you're out in the fish house, I don't know, or you're just joining us from a warm place at home. God is present, and He is good. That's what we got to remember. And as sitting here trying to worship, I got so many things going through my mind, and trying to set them aside to focus on God, it's not always easy. Pictures going through your head, you know, thoughts going through your head, concerns people have, but, you know, Lord, help us to put that aside during this time, that we may worship You. That it may be genuine. Lord, we need more of You. We want more of You. And we know that You're faithful. Let's hear from Him through His readings.
Our first reading today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, starting with verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Our second reading is from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice of our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the 17th chapter of the book of John, verses 20 through 25. Jesus speaking. My prayer is not for them, the disciples, alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as You and are in me and I am in You. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent me. I have given them the glory that You gave me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You sent me and have loved them even as You have loved me. Father, I want those You have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory You have given me because You love me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent me. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we ask once again that Your living word would speak to us. That would inspire us, that would correct us where needed, and guide us. Amen. Unity. Heard about it in all the readings. Unity, a togetherness, a common purpose. And that's what we definitely want in the church. We want people to be united. And may we be an example for this country that is so divided as well. Can there be a coming together for a common purpose, for the common good? And would that be aligned with God's ways and His will? Sort of a timely topic, this unity. It's definitely needed. I'm thankful that our congregation has a lot of unity, that we are definitely here for each other, with each other, and God through us. You know, we can be with there for each other as humans, certainly. But when God is working through us to be there, that's something that you can't get anywhere else. It's sort of like when you go to visit someone at the nursing home or the hospital or something like that, you know, you can be present there, but when you ask God to be present through me, and then in some way He uses us, where His presence is brought into that situation, His presence is brought into that room, His presence is brought into those concerns, and then His presence, which brings that peace, which can bring healing, and all the wonderful things that God wants for us. It's great. It's not from us. It can be through us at times, but it's certainly not from us. It's from God. And may we just be bearers of the light. You know, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. However He wants to use us, that's what we ask. So this theme of togetherness and of unity, once again, like I say, is what was really driving the research and the verse selection and the readings and everything else. And I thought it fit in nicely with the annual meeting today, too. We are one. We are one in the Spirit, and God make us one. Again, with that common purpose to align with God's will, to serve others as He did and still does, and sometimes through us, right? And what does this look like then? Well, Colossians, start with verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Well, to be able to see ourselves as that, right? Chosen by Him? Wow. Sometimes we feel like maybe that kid that doesn't get chosen, you know, when they're choosing teams or whatever. But God Himself has chosen us. And He says that we are holy and dearly loved. Anybody deserve that? No, that's our God. That's how good He is. That's who He is. That's His nature. He is love. Clothe yourselves with the following: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If we're going to represent Him to the world, 2 Corinthians 5 says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, right? And the clothing is the outer thing that the people see. They don't see our hearts. Hopefully, our motives and such show our hearts. But if we are clothed with, when people look at us, they see compassion. That's Christ. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All these attributes. Wow. So that's how we are to portray ourselves, and maybe genuine, maybe from the heart, not just clothes that we put on so it looks good. But may this be who we are. Compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. And especially when dealing with others and with dealing with one another, some of those things like the patience. The next verse, bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. To bear with each other, that's to be patient with one another, to put up with the other's shortcomings. And that can be work at times, right? It doesn't always come easily to be patient with certain people. There's people in your lives. And to forgive. Yeah. That definitely takes some effort on our part, because we always think that we're right, right? Yeah, it can't be me. It's all them. It can never be me. No, to be able to humble yourself and to forgive others. Again, attributes of Christ, these are wonderful. You know, God is a forgiving God. Think of what He's forgiven us. I was reading a book this morning before I came here, and it was talking about Revelations and the final judgment, and if your name is written in the book of life, because there's another book that contains everything that you've done. And I'm going, wow, everything I've done, everything I've said, everything I've thought, I don't have a chance. But that's where Jesus comes in. That's where Jesus comes in, because if all that was held against us, none of us would have a chance. But He took all that away from us, every thought that doesn't line up with God's will, every action, every word. He took that, paid for it on the cross, so that we can be forgiven, that we can be free, and that we can enter into God's presence where anything that's not pure, not holy, not sanctified, to be vaporized, could not exist. But Jesus did that for us. He paid it all. And out of thankfulness, then absolutely, we have to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient, like we said, forgiving and bearing with each other, putting up with one another at times. Yeah, and to forgive as the Lord forgave you. How much did he forgive us? Yeah, everything. And we're to forgive in the same way, to the same measure? Oh, yeah, it would be so nice to hold on to maybe some little grudges and things at times, but no, we are to forgive completely. Even when the other person doesn't ask for it? Yikes. You know, a two-sided forgiveness is wonderful. That can bring healing very quickly, but sometimes that's not possible. So as much as it depends on us, we forgive others. We do our part. We can always do our part. So we have all these things, all these virtues, but over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love binds in unity. We are bound together in love. And all these other things are bound together in love. Love is the driving force. It's the primary motivator for any of these things. We do that, the peace of Christ can rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Lord, let there be peace, yeah. And let us be members of one body with one common purpose. Yeah, we all have different functions. We all play different parts, right? We have different pieces of the puzzle, but once you put that together, then we see the body of Christ. And to do it all in the name of Jesus, to his glory. Again, we don't do it to build ourselves up, to make ourselves look good. No, for his glory. And not a thankfulness for what he's done for us. We offer ourselves up to be used. Another part of this reading was teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Okay. Teach and admonish one another. Again, this unity where one person has a shortcoming and someone else will help fill it in. And we teach each other. We admonish one another. And we lift one another up. We are there for each other. As a popular Christian radio song says right now, you don't fight alone. We fight with each other. That can be taken in the wrong way too, doesn't it? Can it? Okay. We fight with each other side by side. There we go. That's the way we want to look at that. We don't fight alone. The people around you in this room right now, always willing to help. You got a prayer concern? Reach out to them. They'll pray with you. You have a physical need? Reach out to them. They'll help you fulfill it. We are here for each other and we are here with each other. Again, stronger together. We don't fight alone. And God himself fights by our side too when we're aligned with his will and working for his purposes. And we thank you for that, Lord. So to work together, to be united, to be unified. Again, love is the common, the driving force, the reason for it all, the motivator of everything. It's the key. From 1 John today, when I think of different books of the Bible, I associate them with different words or themes. I think of Philippians, I think of joy. It's a book of joy to me. When I think of 1 John, I think of love. Love is just a recurring theme throughout this letter. And it's stated here once again in these passages from chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. You know, God is love. And when we're loving one another, we're helping one another, we're being there for one another. That's God. Let us love one another. We're blessed with a congregation where, to my knowledge, there's not a whole lot of division. There's a lot of unity, which is great, and I love it. People are willing to work together and want to work together. And that's just a reflection of God, once again, that unity. I love it. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Yep. If you love, you've been born of God. It's not all from us. We learned it from him. He is love. And whoever does not love does not know God. Well, we got to that one Tuesday morning. Whoever does not know
does not love, does not know God. All right, pull up that mental picture of that person then, who is not loving and doesn't know God. Maybe it's someone you've known in your life. Someone who is like bitter and miserable. Maybe greedy. I don't know. You think of that one old guy in the neighborhood who has lots of baseballs because every time one rolls into his yard, no one's getting it back, right? Okay, but no. If someone is that miserable, what have they gone through? What brought them to that? What was their childhood like? Is there a reason? They have hurts. They are hurting. And they need Jesus. If it's possible to reach out to those people, then we seek to do so and pray that it would be received. But there'll be a miserable existence, wouldn't it? Whoever does not love does not know God. They need to know God. They need Jesus. Because God is love. So Lord, give us the equipping and the tools to reach out to people like that. And to reach out to everybody, of course, because we all need you. God showed his love for us. That's the next verse, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He could do it in many ways. You know, living under his favor, that's showing love. Being there for us, providing, protecting, that's showing love. But what he did, he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Wow. To give of himself in that way, his one and only son, and out of love, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He made a way, and he made it through love. Once again, the driving force for all of this. Sending his only son, that example that we can never live up to, although we strive to. We want to be more like him, and Lord, help us to be more like him, to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, forgiving. Wow. He fulfilled all that. He showed us how to live, but it was also that ultimate atoning sacrifice for our sins. And as a result, dear friends, since God so loved us to that extent, we also ought to love one another. Not always easy. Some people are easy to love. Others, it maybe takes a little effort, or else we've got to put aside some things in our mind. But to reach out in love, did Jesus just die for us? No. For everyone. They just have to accept it. To receive it, I should say, perhaps. So what does this look like? This is God. No one has ever seen God, but when we see people loving each other, we see acts of compassion and kindness, then we see God. When we see people giving of themselves, putting their own needs aside, we see God. God is love. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So loving one another, yes. What we're called to do. That unity finally was spoken of in the gospel again today as well. Where Jesus is praying. Well, he just got finished praying for the disciples. And now he turns his attention onto us. My prayer is not for my disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus himself praying for the future believers. And we're included in that. And what is he asking then? What is he praying for us and all future believers from that point up to now and to the future until he comes back? He could pray lots of things. So where does he shift his focus? What is his priority? This is, you know, the night in which he is betrayed. He's going to be crucified the next day. He prays that all of them may be one. That there would be unity. That all may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And there is unity, of course, in the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one. He wants it to that same extent. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. So we're included into that. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Okay? To be included in that is very humbling to be one with Jesus, one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit, and one with each other. This creates, you know, the unity that's going to exist forever when Jesus comes back and the eternal kingdom comes. We're going to be united with God in it, all of us together. Of course, there are those that won't be there too. And I pray that everybody would realize how real this is and want a part of it. Why would you not? You know, to be a part of something here on earth where you're together in a positive way, loving one another, and to experience that forever. He prays that they may be brought to complete unity. Not partial, but complete. Lord, may we be one in purpose. May we be one in you. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Well, I pray that there's unity in the church, that we can serve as an example to the rest of the world that is so divided these days. Lord, use us for that. May the unity that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ shine as an example of what's possible if people will follow you, they'll love like you, they'll be patient with others, be kind, be gentle, forgiving, because we're all human with all our faults. But again, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together as your sons and daughters. And use us to make a positive difference in this world to your glory as we look forward to being united with you forever. Amen.